from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Get out of here.
I just did. I don't. Like,
it,
I, hell,
no tent.
I mean, I love the heat.
I work out in it.
Hey, live in 2024. If you have air conditioning available to you, take freaking advantage of it.
Me and Bear.
Says the AC, baby.
Me and Bear got up about 9. I try to get about 2.5 out there.
Yeah.
Half a mile, man. We looked at each other. Turned and hopped on that Peloton, Jack.
Hey, I went home late yesterday afternoon and did my yard. I like the heat. I'm used to it. I'm saying those dudes hated it. 90% of them ain't from here. They hate it.
You're talking about being out there for under two hours.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that you are prepped as well as anybody out there, yeah, internally, nutritionally. I mean, yeah, if that heat bothers you, you got problems. If that heat bothers you, you got problems.
I got
you playing the wrong sport.
This is the oddest take that you have ever come off of.
There's nothing odd about it, man. You're just soft.
You're telling me summers in Houston, Texas, are not hot?
Yes, they're hot. They're hot. But I'm scared to be out in it. You're scared to be out.
Who said they're scared?
When Ron said he didn't go to practice
over the hot ass sun in H-Town.
But that don't mean he's scared.
Yeah, I mean, scared and soft. Yeah, scared of the heat. Hell, How would you define that? Soft, all hot butter, soft, scared. 86 is Dick.
We can't all be as big a man as Clint Sterner.
This is the same thing as, oh, you just don't like dogs. No, man. You're just soft. 86-year-old Dick lives across the street. You know what he was doing yesterday at 11
Clint's
o'clock?
Clint's a man's
94
man.
Degrees. You know what Dick was doing?
What was he doing?
Cleaning up yard work, cleaning up yard.
That's what he sounds like.
86 years old.
These whippersnappers are so
picking up his own logs and limbs and burning them in a fire. It was even hotter.
Those damn millennials.
Richard should have took his ass on the house. That was
hey,
stupid.
Clint. Do you believe these kids?
Maybe it's because I did soft. My time. I get it.
Tricky Dicky, man.
I get it.
Hey,
big grinding.
I get it.
He's a grinder. Grind his ass.
I get it. I've done my time. I love the heat. All I'm saying is you don't hate the heat. I did my yard yesterday afternoon, 4 o'clock.
It. You're less of a man than
us. You do it, but you don't love it.
Nobody hates it.
Something wrong with you if you love that.
All right.
Hot butter.
Yeah. Speaking of heat, hot butter.
I'm sure we'll hear more of this heat.
Parquet.
Soon. You're listening to KALT, KALT HD2 and Odyssey Sports Station, and the drive is hot and live.
The drive is in air conditioning. Maybe you just sweated your shirt out, but the drive, this part of the drive is good and live right here. You heard Clint, you heard Tyler. We got a little rambunctious here all ready to kick this thing off.
I love that word.
It's a fun one. I'm good, man. I let y'all hold that. I got out there. I said, boy, ain't for me today, Jack. I give it to you. I give it to you, man. Knocked it out the park, baby. Good. I'm glad we got one of us on here who's willing to do it. I didn't have it in me.
Y'all ought to be ashamed.
Oh, I'm not.
I'm not at all.
I didn't go watch practice because of the heat?
Yes.
Correct.
You ought to be ashamed. Y'all ought to both be ashamed.
I made that decision.
Fine with it. Very comfortable.
Clearly.
Very
comfortable.
You made your choice, and I respect your choice. I'm good. I'm good with it. I feel good too, boy. Went out there, try my 9 o'clock. No, I said I'm out. Not today. Not for me. There ain't no tent. Ain't no tent to cover us. Just sweating bullets.
There's a little shade. There's a tent out there. There's shade.
Yeah. All right. Hey, today's a big, big day. We'll get to it because Clint was out there sweating bullets. We'll get to that. But letting you know, if you've been listening throughout the day, I know there was a winner at 7 a.m. There was a winner at noon. I was listening. You better have been listening to Confessions because Lopez just surprised you on that and just gave you tickets. Your chance will be in the 5 o'clock hour. You will be able to win front row seats in the bullpen front row seats coming up on Saturday as the Giants come to NRG. Make sure you're listening in the 5 o'clock hour. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to remind you throughout. I'm not even going to try to trick you or mess with you. I'm telling you right now, I've made the decision. The first segment, so you need to be there at 5 o'clock, the first segment. In the 5 o'clock hour, not the second, not the third, the very first segment, 5 o'clock, that's when we will be calling for our winner to win those two pair of tickets. So it could be at 5, could be 5:02, could be 5:05, hell, it could be 5:10. That first segment, your chance to win a pair of tickets front row in the bullpen. So, hey, let people know, tell somebody, be ready, have an alarm. That segment starts at 5 o'clock. During 5 o'clock fire, the first segment, your chance to win a pair of tickets. All right, Clint, you got out there. It was a smoky one out there. And this is I feel like this is the first time, hell, I think since I've been here, that they've, you know, during training camp, moved the practice time back like this. I don't remember D'Amico doing that last year, and I don't remember Cully and Lovey and Bill O'Brien doing that before. So they have moved this to 11:30. Real quick, your thoughts on why and what went into them moving it back to that?
Well, I think it's pretty simple. I think this is a time that they're gonna practice during the year. I think this week is they're gonna make as much like game week as they possibly can. This is week three of the preseason, so the starters are gonna play. If you're healthy, you're gonna practice. They're going to practice at 11:30 because that's when they practice during the regular season. The practice is going to be longer. So today is which is really Tuesday, but it would be like a game week Wednesday with the game this week being on Saturday versus Sunday. Everything's moved up, so your Tuesday is like your Wednesday. Long work day, and again, the time is because of when they're going to practice. He's just doing everything he can this week to make this just like game week. This is a week-long run through of game prep. What's it going to look like? What's the practice schedule look like? And all the way down to I would imagine this meeting schedule and everything is going to be exactly what it is during.
They're trying to mimic the season.
Mimic the season to a T. I mean, we saw all the guys back at practice. Some of them came back on Sunday. If you're healthy today, you were practicing. Titus Howard was out there. And there's a handful of guys that came back. And so I think it's game week. To your point, we'll give away them tickets in that 5 o'clock hour. If you're going to go to a preseason game, which we only have two home this week and next week, Saturday, both noon games, a lot of people can go to both. But if you are going to go to a preseason game, one, you want to sit your ass on the front row, which is the tickets we're giving away. And two, the Giants game this week is the one you want to go to because this is the big week for the starters to get extended play.
You think they'll play more than they will the last preseason game?
Absolutely. I think the last preseason game, we're going to be looking at third and fourth quarter and see who's going to get cut.
Yeah.
If you got veterans playing in the second half of preseason four, they probably going to make their way up out of Houston. That decision's probably already made.
Because right when you played, it used to get four.
Yeah.
And right, and it used to be like – the third preseason game, what starters would play into the third quarter.
Yep.
I don't think that's done anymore, is it? Or do you think that the possibility of that happening this week?
Oh, I think it's possible.
With the Giants this week that maybe we see them, because I was thinking maybe we see a quarter of them. You think we may see the half?
I think we could possibly get a half and a drive out of the half. I mean, I think a lot of coaches believe
in – I love that. I love that.
I do, too. I see how guys come out of the locker room. Yeah, I do, too. Now, D'Amico may be confident enough in his team to where he doesn't need that. You know, if you're Brian Daboll and you're sitting over the Giants, you're probably going to bring your team out in the second half and start the second half with your starters.
And he looks good.
Yeah, he looks good. Lost a little weight, but
proud of him.
I don't know about that hard knocks. I would like to see D'Amico Ryans bring the starters out one drive in the second half, no matter what happens. You've gone through the whole gamut. Now week four is just about who's getting cut and who's not. Preseason week four is just about who's getting cut and who's not. And once that's over, you wholly turn your conversation, your focus to the Indianapolis Colts So, yeah, I'd like to see him, but I wouldn't be – look, with where this team is with D'Amico Ryans, I wouldn't be disappointed if he said, no, we're finna go in the four series. We're just going to get some good work in and get out. I wouldn't be disappointed. I think he's extremely confident, and he should be. This is a player-led locker room. I think they're in a spot where they could go either way.
Saw a lot of people return to practice who have been out, including Kamari Lassiter. We'll get the rest of them. But Christian Harris, Will Anderson, no surprise on Christian Harris when he limped off gingerly, as reported yesterday. Kind of figured that was going to be the case. But Will Anderson, too. So both of those guys Will Anderson hasn't practiced in over a week, and now we're looking at Christian Harris as well, and who knows if he's reset or where that is. So Tuesday, tomorrow's Wednesday. It feels maybe we leaning towards, I would damn sure Christian Harris,
yeah,
leaning towards both of those guys potentially being out and missing the third preseason game for the Texans.
Yeah, and this is the one where we've been talking about, this is the one where it matters, and the truth of the matter is this defense, you know, those two guys change it significantly. And so you'd like to see the entire unit together. Obviously you got to err on the side of caution if either one of them, which clearly Christian Harris wasn't ready to get out there yesterday or Sunday, so he's probably not going to be able to get out there this Saturday. There's no sense in it, but just the thought of Will Anderson and Christian Harris not being a part of this team just this Saturday as it pertains to this preseason game, boy, it'll make you nervous because those two guys right there change the game.
Yeah, Christian is the one, especially of the two. Now, Will Anderson is the guy that you feel like may have a real breakout year. But Christian Harris, to me, especially when you start talking about, you know, the Colts and the regular season opener, is like – Will Anderson could not practice or play up until Saturday night before the Colts game.
Yeah.
And you can stick him in at his spot and feel pretty good because, you know, hey man, you know what you're doing right there. Christian Harris, it's not just okay, how quickly can they get him back? I think they need him back, and he needs to kind of get some run with these dudes. Like, at the linebacker position that he's playing, like, I think that's a lot tougher to just, hey, man, we ain't practiced with you all training camp, and just step in here a week before and play with these guys and play with Alshire for the first time. Like, I think they not only need to get him healthy, but get him back so he can get acclimated with the guys around him. I think that's a little bit more important than the position that Will Anderson plays.
Yeah, just positionally, Will Anderson can come back week of, and as long as his legs are under him, he put your hand in the dirt and go eat, big fella. Yeah. I mean, that's you're right. I mean, the D-line position, the DM position, we've heard multiple times with D'Amico I'm sure they're doing some reading to some degree on certain plays, but for the most part, they're put your hand in the dirt, penetrate, put your hand in the dirt, go eat. Christian Harris, I would imagine, has a lot to do with the communication.
Yes.
I know Azeez Al-Shaair, the middle linebacker, big zero. By the way, that zero looks clean in the middle of that defense. He's doing the majority of the communicating. The safeties are doing the majority of the communicating, but I would imagine that Christian Harris has something to do with that. And so, yeah, it would take I would imagine it would take a little bit more run at practice with the guys to get in a groove. But look, let's be honest, if he's healthy, I don't care if it happens Saturday before a Sunday game.
Well, yeah,
he's got to be the dude.
Yeah, he's gonna go, but you just like that part of it is a little bit more important than Will. Like Will, man, just get healthy. Him, you kind of want to get him on the field. All right, so that is kind of the latest today. They're gonna be doing that all week, 11:30 practices, and they were out there a long time today sweating bullets out there in that heat. And I know D'Amico Ryan spoke to the media earlier, and he talked about his young safety. And Jalen Petrie is I think at the very least, a question mark going into the season, especially off of what he did last year and now coming off of him playing a new position. I think he is at least a question mark here. Here is D'Amico talking about his young safety, Jalen Petrie.
And Jalen, I mean, first thing first is just he's so fun to work with. He's one of our smartest players on our team, right? He's able to handle a lot mentally and physically. Very gifted guy who does a phenomenal job, whether it's in coverage, whether it's blitzing, playing in the box, playing back deep. Not many guys have the skill set that Jalen has, and he's a fun guy to work with. He's all about the team. He's a true leader for us on our team, and I'm always excited to work with Jalen because he's ready for more, like trying to see how much he can handle. He can handle a lot, and it helps our defense just with his versatility, his flexibility, and just his willingness, right, to do whatever it takes for the team to be successful. Like, that's how we want all of our guys.
All right, I know you was impressed with him today. I know Jalen Petrie. It was a Jalen Petrie day for you.
And I'll be honest with you. I'll be completely transparent. I'm a Jalen Petrie guy.
I am too. I
want this to work out, Ron. I'm with D'Amico. I like everything about the dude, man. Other than seeing him on the sideline way too often last year, I like everything about him. And you know, we've beat the dead horse of man, boy. This the only thing is, can he cover? And that holds true today. But Ron, I'm watching him, and look, I don't know what's going to happen in a game. I don't advise D'Amico play a lot of man when he's out there and get him matched up on Malik Nabers this weekend if he plays, or you know what. Like, I don't think you should ever be reckless, obviously. But I'm watching him today, man, and he's covering, somehow getting matched up with Tank Dell. And
get ready for Josh Downs, although he is injured.
He is, yeah. He covers Tank Dell. Now, there was a flag thrown. I couldn't see how egregious the penalty was, but there was some level of PI there. But I didn't, again, it wasn't like blatantly obvious. You know, then I look up and he's covering Diggs across the middle, confidently covering Diggs across the middle, forcing a slide catch, which he didn't make the catch, so it was incomplete. And then I look up, and I'll be damned if somehow Nico Collins didn't matched up on him going deep. It looked like a little slot fade type thing. And he covers him like a blanket to where they end up. The ball was probably thrown out of bounds from my angle. I couldn't tell how far out of bounds. But anyway, he just made it tough. Was physical with Nico coming
out. Good coverage.
Yeah, and I'm just watching that. I'm just going, man, I don't know if he's out there getting really good. Like, I don't know how great these reps are because you don't get to see it all like you can on film. But he damn sure is out there confidently acting like he's out there making plays. I mean, he feels really, really good about what he's doing on a play-in, play-out basis.
Well, he just has to be good enough. He doesn't have to be Stingley or Sauce Gardner or Patrick Surtain. I mean, he just has to be good enough to where it's not Jacksonville and Tavier Thomas, to where it is, I mean, it's so obvious to everybody. That's where you go, and it doesn't matter. Like, he just has to be good enough. And just listening to you and seeing this in practice, he is clearly facing guys that will help him improve and get better. I mean, if you're sitting there and you're going up against Diggs one time, you somehow get matched up with Tank Dell another time, then you get a big receiver. Because honestly, Clint, that's what I would imagine teams are going to do early. If they say, all right, we want to test five, they're going to put all they're going to find a way to get all of their receivers, all of their guys.
They've got two reasons, like, to, right? I mean, not only is he the guy that hasn't proven that he can do it, hell, the alternative is Derek Stingley Jr.
or Lassiter. Yeah.
So I mean, it's that's the kicker. Is like, do you want to consistently throw Derek Stingley Jr.'s way? Well, no. Okay, well, let's go the other way. And to your point, you got Jalen Petrie and Kamari Lassiter, which we'll see how all that works out. There's something about Petrie, man, and you hear D'Amico talking about the leadership. You hear him talking about the instincts and having been there before.
He blew up just several run plays against the Steelers. Just blew them up.
Yeah, the run plays and the pressures that D'Amico can dial up with him are absolutely beautiful, man. So just that one question mark, and it seems like at practice, it seems like, you know, he's having some really good days, and it's not because they're letting him cover Xavier Hutchinson all day long. He ain't out there blanketing Robert Woods, right? I mean, they're putting ones on ones, and he's winning more than he's losing. At least it appears that from my vantage point.
No, I'm glad he's coming along, because in that game, it's you didn't get to see a lot of coverage, at least in the Steeler game. But boy, I mean, he reads, and when he reads and determines what he sees,
when that sucker triggers.
He said it today. He said, I want to be patient, but then when I get there, a little what is that?
What, this thing? This is Tyler's bobblehead.
Oh, is that the bobblehead?
This is Tyler's bobblehead. I wanted to bring it in the studio.
It's not legit.
What do you mean it's not legit?
What?
It doesn't have a hat on. It should have a backwards hat.
A backwards hat.
At that point in time in my life, I
was wearing hats?
I couldn't. That's what I wore to work every day. I was in a very corporate setting.
So were you hat in the truck immediately?
No.
As soon as you got in there, you put the hat on?
No, I didn't keep a hat in the truck.
I think this is false advertisement. You've got...
But you could wear shades?
Well,
I mean, outside.
Your beard trim on the chin is different.
Yes, I did. I used to do the line right at my chin line instead of down the neck a little bit. I used to do the line
let me put my hand on.
See, look at that. Look at that, Ron. That's how you do yours right there, Ron.
I was about 45 pounds heavier whenever that bobblehead was made of me, too. See the little belly?
Ron's over there wobbling that head like he's taking a leak or something.
I think they should have made the head a little bigger, but
that's fair.
I like it.
I'll accept that. That's fair.
I like it. So you weren't doing the part at the time?
Ron wants to know what. Ron, we need to get the drive bobbleheads.
Oh, I got something in the works.
Ask Meg how much they cost.
I don't want you. I want to be there to help with the design.
Ron, no.
This is not that invoice.
He wants to be there. No,
I help pay the invoice. I will. But I want to be there for the design.
What do you mean?
I want to be there to take a look at it.
Like sidewinders?
No, I don't have sidewinders. I'd never worn sidewinders. Y'all can all kiss my ass.
Oh, these.
But
these little
I want to be there to see exactly what we're doing here. So, like, I like surprises. Tyler has surprised us with several things, but this is one I don't want to surprise. I'd like to be there.
I was thinking I'd have you holding like a real pink looking kind of drink, maybe with an umbrella in it.
I'm red. It's red for starters.
Or
so
red
again. See, you're gonna screw it up. I want to be.
I mean, I've seen you enjoy a pink drink before. I wasn't even trying to like take a shot at you. I just
it's
know
red.
You
it's
don't
a
care.
Red drink, it's and light, that and light, if you and if red. You can, if you can screw up the red drink, then who knows? I mean, my hairline's not going to be right.
Harold has got to be part of it.
I want to put Harold on the bobblehead.
You got to put Harold on the bobblehead.
See, again, like right. Listen, I
got to tell a story.
I wouldn't do your little patchy spot on the side there.
Sure, if you want to, you can tell a story.
No, tell a story. All right, no, because you're going to get her messing up.
That's a big part of our Harold. That's actually
near your.
Harold was a contributor at one point, man.
It was. All right. It's over. Coming up. Are you ready to say it? Are you ready to say it about Mr. Dr. Heckle and Mr. Hyde? Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. One of those. Are you ready to say it about Framber? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. As, yes, the Texans were out today in that heat, but the Houston Astros, what's that, six in a row they won last night?
That is correct.
Tyler won a little bit of cash, except for his lock.
Yep.
Of the week.
Ironic, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Is that the only one you lost?
Yeah.
That was the lock of the week?
Hit about 42 bets and lost the one lock.
My lock of the night was the only bet I did not hit.
Well, for him, that's good. For others who went with that lock, because I know there are some people who trust you that go with, all right, Tyler's saying this is the lock.
Mm-hmm.
And his locks usually pay dividends. Not last night. What was that lock? Oh, you needed one more out, didn't you?
Yeah. It was one strike away.
I didn't realize it was so close till I checked the box score, T.
Yeah, one strike away.
I wasn't watching when they pulled him, and I checked the box score, and I said, oh, boy.
Yeah.
I think I even heard TK say, and old Framber Valdez gave you 17 outs, and I thought, ooh, that's half an out short of Tyler's bet.
Yeah,
that hook can be a real bitch.
Yeah, yeah, but hey, they got the dub. They got the dub, and that
impressive.
It was over early.
It feels huge.
Bregman came out and hit a homer right off the bat, and then the big fella joined. You even hit your Diaz homer. He joined the party. Oh, yeah. It was off to the races. But again, fellas, it was Framber Valdez. It was the starting pitching. Now he couldn't get that final out that you needed, but still. 5 2/3, 9 strikeouts, 1 walk on 1 earn. Like, that's continuing to be big-time stuff. And We've talked about the biggest thing with him is the consistency factor. That's the deal with Fromber. Like, can he be consistent? And Clint, Fromber since June 23rd is 7-0 with a 2.68 ERA in 9 starts, which the Astros have won all 9 of those starts.
Cream always rises to the top.
And Yiner Diaz, oddly enough, has been behind the plate in 7 of the 9 starts. We've been asking for consistency. There is an up and down factor with Fromber. Oh, he can throw a damn near no hitter, but then he can give up whatever. Clearly, Clint, he has stepped that part up of his game, and now he is looking to be consistent. And my thought is, are we ready to say that Cy Young Fromber is back? Are you ready to say the guy who was the number one starter, the ace for this team when they won the World Series, the first half guy, is Cy Young version of Fromber? Is he back? Are you ready to get there?
I can't.
7-0.
I can't.
Since June 23rd.
He's been great. He's been great. I love Fromber. He's been great. I'm glad he's great. Hell, looking at his season long numbers, I don't know that we didn't blow some of the low points out of the water, to be completely honest with you. But I can't get there. Something about Cy Young. Cy Young and Ace. I'm not quite there. He's been good. He's been really good, and I'm glad he's in a damn Astros uniform. That's for sure. But man, I get a different vibe when Verlander's on the bump than when Fromber's on the bump. Like I just there's a different level. There's just a different level of, and I'm just saying ace versus a guy that's up and coming. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, man. I don't feel ace confident. I don't feel ace comfortable. I did, Tyler,
in the World Series year, like the years. Like that, especially that World Series year, the start of last year, I felt like he's about to go down. He's going to be the best pitcher on the field.
Yeah.
Like or not even just on the field. Like, he felt ace vibes to me until that thing just fell all apart in the second half last year. I'm with you. I want to go there. I do. I want to go there. And now he is showing us some level of consistency. I mean, this ain't just, we talked about, hey, up and down. No, this is 7 straight starts where you are, or 9 straight starts where you're 7-0 and your team's won all of them because you've given them a chance to win where your ERA is in the 2s.
And I think one of those starts, Ron, I mean, I think it was 2-1 the Astros won. So, I mean, clearly it was a great start. He just didn't end up getting a win.
Yeah. He has done a little too much to earn that. Boy, I don't know. Because we've said it. Are we getting good Fromber tonight? Are we getting that other dude? So he got to do a little bit more because he has earned a hell out of nervousness.
I just think back, man, and I don't know what Verlander's going to look like when he comes back, but just when JV was JV. And I'm not even talking about the numbers, because I'm sure there's some advanced stats, or hell, there may be even some just regular old box scores that'll prove it. I'm just telling you how I feel. Mm. Like when JV's on the bump, even when Tyler's boy was on the bump, what was the big fella? My mind just went blank with the Yankees, the guy you hate,
Gerrit Cole.
When he's on the bump, like there's just a I don't know. I felt like it was just effortless, and those dudes could just overpower folks and were just too much for hitters. And I don't know, man. I don't get that same feel with Fromber.
He's cutting close there a little bit. Some people are saying, yeah, I'm about getting there. I can't trust him. I still can't trust him. I do. I would say I still get the uneasy feel. Like, to me,
he's still the guy that changed the game plan midway and ruined a start.
Like I say, if his next start, he gave up a home run in the first inning, I'm not 100% sure like that he won't implode.
You made a great point though. To me, because I'm glad Framber's a damn Astro. I can tell you that. I'm very comfortable with him on the bump. But the part of Diaz has been behind the plate the last seven of those nine where the team won. Nine starts from Framber Valdez and Yainer Diaz has been behind the plate with seven. There's something there, Ron. That there's some, like, there's some growth and some development and some chemistry.
Maybe they needed that moment to
what are you talking about, when he audibled?
Yeah, when he and maybe that was a moment when Yainer, like, kind of stepped up and said, "Hey man, like, what you want to do?"
Yeah. Like, I can't take this one. I can't take this one.
They had a come to Jesus type of a situation. I'm getting close. I want to get the thing that gets me there is I've seen it. I've seen it. Like, to me, there was, during that playoff run, really, there were about three playoff runs. There was not another pitcher on the staff that I wanted to have the ball in an important game for the Astros than Framber Valdez. But he has done a lot to kind of break that trust. So we'll see. I mean, he has definitely started to show some consistency. All right, a player is back that maybe. Maybe Andre Ward was talking about. We'll discuss that coming up.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
They're going to have to find a way to manufacture, meaning create, a ground game. They just have to.
And it's not, it's what we talked about a little bit earlier. It's not just going to happen because Laramie decided to come back to practice, and Joe Mixon decided to come back to practice, and whomever else, Titus Howard, decided to come back to practice, and all of a sudden it's opening day, and you're going to open up holes for whoever's at running back. You need some work together as an offensive line so that you start to establish the things that make you a good running football team and a good pass protecting football team. It just doesn't magically happen. Because it's been that way in the past.
All right, there's Andre Ware, Mark Vandermeer, discussing the run game, the elements of the run game. And I would say that was, with the first team offense, that's one I'm sure they would even say we wish we did better with. But they didn't have their guys. Clint Laramie Tunzel returned back to practice after missing all of training camp in terms of being on the field in practice. And today, Titus Howard is back on the practice field, which is hell what he's talking about. They need to get going. They need to get going now.
They're all back, Ron. Everybody that Andre Ware mentioned right there is back on the field today, yep, getting at work. Titus Howard, Laramie Tunsil, Joe Mixon, they're all out there. Of course, Shaq Barrett, Kenyon Green.
Shaq Mason.
Yeah, Barrett retired, didn't he?
He did.
Shaq Mason. And Kenyon Green and Juice Scruggs have been out there for the long haul. They're all getting to work in. All five offensive linemen are out there, and that new Texans running back Joe Mixon is out there getting that work this week. This is that game week, Ron. This is the number one thing that I am watching this week, and it ain't gonna change. No matter what the hell we hear from now until the time the Texans kick this thing off Saturday at noon, the number one thing that I'm watching in all of Texans Nation. There's a lot of storylines. There's a lot of guys that got to play well. There's a lot of guys we're going to see for the first time. But damn it, Joe Mixon, Titus Howard, Laramie Tunsil, Kenyon Green playing at what appears to be very, very promising form right now. Juice Scruggs doing his thing. And this is must-see TV for Texans fans. With these guys on the field all together. Andre Ware just emphasized how important it is. They're getting that work in this week. I would imagine they're going to get some work in next week, not during the game, but definitely next week. They're working together, and damn it, Ron, we should see an uptick in this run game. We should see an uptick in this run game with all these guys out there.
You think immediately?
Absolutely.
Even though they hadn't been out there together yet?
Absolutely. I went back and watched those Damian Pierce runs last from the four carries he had last week. I mean, there's run throughs. There's no push. There's guys getting pushed back into the backfield, like 2-3 yards in the lane. And I just, like, I expect that to shape up in a big way. Tytus Howard at right tackle instead of having a guard out there trying to play right tackle, I think is an absolute game changer. Obviously, Laremy Tunsil, one of the highest paid guys in the game, and I know he's known for his pass protecting, but damn it, he's got to show some promise in the run game as well. I think immediately. And Joe Mixon, the big X factor here, let's be honest. While I'm not a believer, I do not subscribe to the thought that Dameon Pierce forgot how to run inside and outside zone. I don't believe in that. Right, but I do wholeheartedly believe that there's just a different animal in number 28's uniform. I mean, there Joe Mixon is a different animal, and he should be able to overcome some of the things that other running backs don't overcome.
That's what I want to see.
Yes,
I want to see Dameon Pierce get more carries, but I want to see Joe Mixon. I'd love to see both of them in there.
Yeah,
you know, to see how different it looks. To really see how, all right, because at some point last year, it was like, yeah, in my mind, do I think Dameon Pierce, from what I've seen, have I been more impressed with what Dameon Pierce does? But damn it, I can't say that. I mean, Devin Singletary, the offense in the run game just runs better when he's in it.
Yeah.
And last week, we saw 4 carries for 4 yards, 2-yard loss right off the bat. And I do want to see, all right, is this the back? Or is this up front, or is it a combination of both? I want to see how different it looks with Joe Mixon.
The key, Ron, for me personally, the key is we are not like there's a couple of different elements here, right? Like I think last year, Devin Singletary was the better answer behind a bad offensive line. There was too much run through. There was not enough push. It was chaos. The offensive line was not on one string. They were not on one accord. And with given that set of circumstances, handing it to a back that can make a guy miss and a back that can bounce outside, a little bit more of a scat back type guy, is your better option, right? Whereas Dameon Pierce is a track runner. When I say track, I mean train track. I don't mean Carl Lewis. I mean train track. There's at the end of the day, this offense is designed to get push and create lanes. There shouldn't be free runners coming through like they were shot out of a gun. There shouldn't be your right tackle at the point of attack. I don't care what scheme you're running, but he shouldn't get pushed 2 yards deep into the backfield. That like those things should not happen. And I'm anxious to see a couple things. How good is this offensive line? Can they fix those issues? And then to your point, if they can't, is Joe Mixon a real X factor? Is Joe Mixon a combination of what Devin Singletary was able to do and what you would hope to get out of Dameon Pierce with that power between the tackles? Can he go out there and overcome some of the mistakes up front? But you look at the really good run teams, particularly that are running the zone inside and out. There is space. There's movement. There's walls being built. There's not free runners, man. There's not a bunch of penetration. Those guys are, I mean, they're out there. They're just patient. They're just floating, boom, getting downhill. Yeah,
41 was just sniping through.
But you think about the guy, the great zone guys, man. Arian Foster was one of them here. But you look back at Terrell Davis, right? You look back at Emmitt Smith. I mean, look, those guys would take the handoff, and it was just float. And as soon as that crease hits, whoop, downhill, and all they needed was just a 12-inch gap to get through, right? I mean, ain't nobody floating behind that. I mean, Dameon Pierce ain't had a chance to float back there. I mean, he ain't had a chance.
Consistently, when I watch those runs, I'm like, would Joe Mixon do something different?
Yeah, I don't know. Joe Mixon may have more shake. There's no doubt about it. When it comes to patience, when it comes to just sheer patience, I think Dameon Pierce has got to be better. You know, he is a true short yardage goal line back that's going to get downhill. And there's a lot of coaches that like that. And in the zone scheme, I think he's going to end up. He had a nice little run today, his fourth run last week in a game, made a guy miss and all that kind of stuff. But they got to clean some things up front. Or Joe Mixon has to be that X factor that can do it all, right? He has to be as good as I think he is ultimately. Like, he has to be able to go out there and without really sound run schemes, run block, he's got to be able to make hay.
Well, listen, they don't need the Texans don't need this run game to be the Ravens, the number one rushing team.
Right.
But they should have everything they need for it to be what it needs to be. Because right off the bat, teams are going to have fear of the passing game and the big play over the top.
Yeah.
So they're not going to. Joe Mixon, just like he did in Cincinnati, probably won't see a lot of heavy boxes. And they should be able to run the football
Bingo.
At the rate that they need to run it. So they get help. It's not like they're last year, I don't think there was a lot of fear at many points of the season, especially when Tank ended up getting injured. A lot of fear in some of the receivers, except for Nico. But now, man, you like at safeties, you can't just have your safety just chilling down there to help, man. Your safety's got to try to help prevent big plays.
Ryan, you look at all the fixings, right? The recipe to have a really good run football team. And you've got it in Houston, man. You got three first-round picks up there. You got three first-round picks up there with Kenyon Green, Laremy Tunsil, and Titus Howard. You got a second-round pick in Juice Scruggs. You got a damn Super Bowl champion in Shaq Mason. I mean, you've got a running back that, hell, you don't have to believe me or what you watch in Cincinnati. Listen to what Bobby Slowick is talking about over there. Complete back. Just a true pro. I mean, he's registering things on his GPS the first 2 days of camp that were blowing their mind. I mean, you got a back out there. And to your point, hell, the biggest X factor is you got a quarterback that everybody in the league scared of already. Yeah. You got a wide receiver crew that everybody's shaking in the damn boots for trying to figure out how they're going to cover them. You can't play man. You got to keep two safeties on the roof. Yeah, I mean, you there is no reason whatsoever
that they shouldn't be a like this running game needs to be middle of the pack.
At the there is that that I'll be honest with you, that's unacceptable. But you are right.
It's I'll take it.
Right. Think about everything we just said though, Ron. You got three first rounders.
But they're going to be a pass first team.
Sure,
that's why they well, should.
Yeah, I don't mean about total yards, but you should be yards per carry. You should be up there. Like forget about the total stats. Like I'm just talking about an effective run game. Like we can run the football whenever we want to run the football. We are going to dictate it. We're going to dictate to you that we're going to run it when we want to. We're going to throw it when we want to. You're not going to dictate to us, right? And this team has every box checked to be able to do that, Ron. I mean, you just mentioned Baltimore, and I'm with you. I think it's unfair to expect them to be the level of physicality that team has.
Yeah, they run it when people know it.
But let's be honest. I mean, they're running it that well when everybody in the world knows what they're going to do. They don't have the luxury of Nico Collins, Tank Dell, and Stephon Diggs out there. I mean, hell, people going to load up on them because of their quarterback and what he can do with his legs. So if Baltimore can be that good. When everybody in America knows they're going to run it and everybody in the NFL is trying to stop that run, then there's no reason the Texans shouldn't go out there and have a really, really, really good and most importantly, effective, when we need to run it, we're going to run it. We're going to run it well enough to throw play action. You know, all those
that's
things.
What they, yeah, they
if they're going to be 60-40 pass, cool. I get it. But, man, it's got to be effective, man.
Yep. All right, Astros, big one last night as they continue their six-game win streak. And there is some news about one of their top guys. We'll let you know about that. We'll let you know all who returned to practice and those who are out, again, out still. We'll discuss all of that coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.